Greetings and welcome to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. The next program in our 2025-2026 season is entitled Centuries of Souls 2, and it is curated by me. The concert has many different elements and stories associated with it, so I'm flying solo for this episode and will enjoy the opportunity to spend some time exploring the program. We will hear later in the program from one special guest, Alberta choral conductor Timothy Shantz, about the late Paul Grindley, to whose memory the concert is dedicated. Exploring Centuries of Souls on this episode of The Fuse. Hello and welcome to our fifth episode of this season's podcast. We're in the middle of a chilly and snowy winter here in Toronto, which brings back fond memories for me of our early December concert, Winter Songs, featuring Andrew Downing's brilliant curation and special guests Anna Atkinson and Arta Jacobson. Those were lovely evenings, and thanks to all of you out there who joined us. As I record this, we are on the eve of rehearsals for our upcoming program, Centuries of Souls 2, happening at Heliconian Hall in Toronto on February 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m. There are many interesting stories that surround this concert, and I thought it would be fun to do a solo episode of the podcast and talk about the repertoire, the artists, the wonderful man to whom the concert is dedicated, and the general ideas behind the programming. First of all, I love putting together concert programs. It's really one of my favorite things to do. This concert, entitled Centuries of Souls 2, harkens back most recently to January 2019 in our first season, where we presented Centuries of Souls 1, featuring the women's chant ensemble Schola Magdalena, led by Stephanie Martin, singing the music of Hildegard von Bingen, the Opus 8 vocal ensemble led by Robert Busakevich, singing the setting of the Requiem Mass by Johannes Ockeghem, and the organist Matthew Larkin playing a generous sampling of the organ music of Olivier Messiaen. We presented it to a large audience at St. Thomas's Church in Toronto. It was a beautiful night. I stole the idea for the program from a sensational concert that happened at St. James Cathedral on October 26, 1991. I found the program in our files in the basement. Andrew Parrott's Taverner Consort performed the Messe de Notre Dame by Guillaume de Machaut, devotional songs by Hildegard von Bingen, and organ music by Olivier Messiaen. It was a tremendously interesting concert because they didn't simply perform the pieces one after the other. They interweaved or interwove the movements, so we received this wonderful juxtaposition of musical styles and colors, and were given the gift as audience members to make our own connections and draw our own conclusions about the similarities and differences in the wonderful works. I tucked the idea away and found a chance in that first Centuries of Souls program in 2019 to create my own version of that extraordinary concert. In the ensuing years, I had also had a rich experience singing a lot of different medieval and Renaissance Mass settings, initially through a series that I co-directed in the early years of this century called Critical Mass, lunchtime concerts supporting the city's Out of the Cold program, and consisting of full performances of masses by Palestrina, Byrd, Isaac, Dufay, Monteverdi, Josquin des Prez, Dunstable, Talis, and many others, including a phenomenal work by the 16th century Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria, entitled Missa Gaudiamus. This piece will form the centerpiece for Centuries of Souls 2. It is a parody mass, meaning that the theme, or cantus firmus, melodic motive that recurs throughout, is based on an existing motive from Gregorian chant, the chant for All Saints' Day, which is modified sometimes for other feast days, titled Gaudiamus Omnes in Domino Diem, or Let Us All Rejoice in the Lord. Now, this piece of chant also formed the basis for an early motet, a shorter sacred piece by Victoria's compatriot, Cristobal de Morales, entitled Jubilati Deo, Rejoice in the Lord. Here's the first half of that motet. And the Mass has this chant woven all the way through its six movements. Here's part of the Benedictus movement, including the Hosanna in Excelsis Deo, in which you can hear the chant motif. The two other vocal segments of the program are markedly different from these Renaissance polyphonic gems. We are going to sing the striking setting of the Lord's Prayer, Pater Noster, by Igor Stravinsky, which reaches back to a kind of Russian Orthodox sound, homophonic and stentorian. And we have another wonderful treat in that our multi-talented artistic associate, Subha Shankaran, we'll sing two pieces of South Indian chant, one praising the Lord Vinayaka, who always removes our obstacles like greed, selfishness, arrogance, foolishness, and the other a prayer for good health, happiness, well-being, and peace. Now, like the Andrew Parrott concert I attended all those years ago, we have a strong instrumental strand to this program as well, featuring the music of the solo violin and the solo lute. But I will fill you in on that a little later in the program. You're listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith. I'm flying solo for this episode of the podcast, introducing you to the program of Centuries of Souls 2 for Confluence, taking place February 13th and 14th at Heliconian Hall in Toronto, at 7:30 p.m. Please visit www.confluenceconcerts.ca for more details and tickets. The concert features a collection of some of the finest ensemble singers in the city, including sopranos Clara Krauss, Alison Beckwith, and Rebecca Genge, altos Simon Honeyman and Subha Shankaran, tenors Jonathan Stutchbury and myself, and basses Brian Martin and Owen Phillipson. This little choir will be conducted by the distinguished conductor-organist Matthew Larkin. Now, this concert has been planned for some time, stretching back about a year now. At the very end of October, we lost a great friend and colleague, the bass baritone Paul Grindley. Paul and his wife, Christina Yan, lived in Toronto for 5 years in the 1990s, and really made their mark and many lifelong friends in the music community before moving back to Calgary to take up various posts there. Paul was a choral conductor, a church musician, a poet, an environmentalist, a fisherman, and a devoted husband and father. Centuries of Souls, too, will be dedicated to Paul's memory. I had the pleasure of singing and playing with Paul many times and always learned from him his meticulous preparation, strong ensemble skills, and his unfailingly positive spirit. He was a fun, knowledgeable, passionate, lovely human being. One person who knew Paul and worked with him very closely is the choral conductor and teacher Timothy Shantz. Tim is the conductor of the Richard Eaton Singers, the director of choral activities at the University of Alberta's Department of Music, and the artistic director of Calgary's Luminous Voices Ensemble, of which Paul Grindley was a founding member. I thought it would be nice to speak with Tim about his experience of making music with Paul. Tim Shantz, welcome to The Fuse.
Great to be here. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Where are we finding you today?
Well, just happened to be in Beau Paris, in Paris, not Ontario, Paris, France, and starting a six-week trip for my sabbatical, and trying to take in concerts and rehearsals and connect with colleagues in Europe, trying to fill the cup a little bit.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. And can you talk a bit about the work that you do in Calgary? You're involved in a number of groups and
I lived in Calgary for 12 years and ended up moving to Edmonton in 2020 formally to start teaching at the University of Alberta. But during my time in Calgary, was involved with the Calgary Philharmonic Chorus as a chorus master and then the Spiritus Chamber Choir, but started this professional choir, Luminous Voices, in 2012. And that remains a going concern, and I'm heavily active in that ensemble to this day and hopefully for many more years to come. So that's a professional choir in Calgary, and we've had so many wonderful projects and performances and premieres, recordings, a couple Juno nominations. It's really like a musical outlet for me, for sure, as a conductor. Occasionally, I've even sung with the ensemble. This last project we did just 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago in February, was Schubert's Winterreise, but a Gregor Meyer arrangement, which is for choir, baritone, and piano. And within that ensemble, I mean, it's ideally you do that without a conductor. So it was nice to be in the ensemble, singing with the tenors, and performing kind of like chamber music, but really, you know, listening and relating to baritone Brett Polegato in this case, and pianist Kathleen Van Mork. So, that ensemble, we've been able to do so many projects and so many wonderful things, from early music to new works. And it's really like a dream come true, actually, Luminous Voices.
Oh, that's terrific. And that's a perfect segue into why I wanted to talk to you today, which is, as you know, we're dedicating this next Confluence concert to the memory of dear Paul Grindley, who is, I know, a very good friend of yours. And we were reflecting on the fact that he and his wife, Christina Yon, were only in Toronto for 5 years. But in those 5 years in the late 90s, they really made a mark on this city in terms of the friendships that they made, in terms of the all of the different musical activities that they were involved in. They were such tremendous colleagues and everything. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your own memories of Paul, you know, when you met him and the kinds of things that you were involved in with him.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it's an honor actually to be asked, because Paul's memory lingers strongly for myself, and I'd say for the entire singing community, ensemble singing and solo singing community in Calgary. But it goes far beyond that. And yeah, I think of his time, because I know of the effect and his career and the trajectory really of his career in Toronto. And in some ways, it was a choice with family to move to Calgary, and probably, you know, lost out on some opportunities that would have kept growing and building in Toronto in a slightly larger center. But at the same time, planted so many seeds in the Calgary region from everything that he did as a singer, inspiring other singers, teaching, directing, and just in his general wise ways. Paul is, you know, someone that never approached any project or any opportunity with as just a gig. I mean, it was for him, he always involved his whole person and made other people feel like part of that too. I can remember my first opportunity to hear Paul and even then share the stage with Paul, and I was thinking, oh my God, and hearing his voice singing beside him, and for me it made such an impact. But there's many other singers that I work with as a conductor that would claim the same thing. Mm-hmm. They had a chance to hear Paul work with Paul and how his musicianship and his character and his sound, all of it came together in a package that people aspired to. I just, having done this project with Schubert, I mean, we were thinking about him the whole time. So, well, Paul was a founding member of Luminous Voices, and he and his wife Christina have been heavily involved all along. But Paul is just an absolute pillar in the ensemble, of course. And I also, would plan programs around knowing that he would be an incredible soloist for things as well. So, whether we were doing a Bach St. John Passion or whatever program we had going, he was involved often as a soloist and also as a pillar of the section. So, yeah, we miss him dearly.
I think of Paul as a well, you've articulated it beautifully. It's a rare singer who is able to so flexibly go between solo singing at a very high level and ensemble singing at a very detailed level. I feel like Paul's ears were so great in terms of tuning and just matching his color to all of the different ensembles as singers as well. Can you talk a little more about him as a singer and the experience of making music with him?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I remember some, conversations with Paul as well, opportunities before and after projects or in the middle of rehearsal times. And, sometimes we talk about vocal color or technique. And so he was always keen to talk about the intricacies of technique and the breathing mechanism, the breath mechanism, phonation, all those things. And, he was able to talk technically about singing, but also sort of in a metaphysical level too, I would say. And, I think that's what made Paul so special in his ability to sort of bring the soul and the technique all into one. And I think that's what attracted people to his voice and his singing. So it was always present that way. And sometimes we just some people can just think of the instrument, you say the instrument, but really, as singers, we embody so much more. And there was always this intention in Paul's singing, and as you say, clear intention, also clear understanding of role and how the voice can be used in different ways, depending on whether you're a soloist or whether you're one in a section of six, right? Or a section of three. But we talk about simple things about breathing and breath and non-forcing of breath. So, I mean, yeah, always great to talk in that kind of detail.
That was part of my phone visit with Tim Shantz, Artistic Director of Luminous Voices in Calgary, an ensemble with which Paul Grindley sang since its inception in 2012. Confluence Concerts is dedicating its upcoming Centuries of Souls II concert to the memory of Paul Grindley. Paul passed away at the end of October 2025 at the age of 60. He was a wonderful singer. And I thought it would be nice to play a short example of his beautiful voice. This is from a recording by his ensemble, Voicescapes, which he founded in 2000 with Gerald Fast, Julie Harris, and Christina Yan. From their recording of Buxtehude's Membra Jesu Nostri, this is from the section dedicated to the feet of Jesus. Paul sings, Sweet Jesus, merciful God, I cry to you. In my guilt, show me your grace. Turn me not unworthy away from your sacred feet.
Et tuis sanctis pedibus, plebe
That was the unmistakable voice of Paul Grindley, to whose memory we are dedicating our upcoming Confluence Centuries of Souls concerts on February 13th and 14th. You're listening to The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My name is Larry Beckwith, and I'd love to just share a bit more of my conversation with the choral conductor and teacher, Tim Shantz, who was a close friend and colleague of Paul's. I was mentioning that Paul had an almost clinical approach to the vocal challenges that he encountered from time to time, and Tim picked up the thread and talked about how remarkable Paul's voice was, even when his health was declining.
Really, not to say too much about his downfall, but in the last couple of years, he did have more and more trouble with breathing. Mm-hmm. What's amazing is that he was still able to sing. Like he would have to breathe more often, and he was very apologetic about this, but he had such incredible tone and resonance. The people around him said, "We don't mind. Like if Paul's singing with us, this is a bonus. You know, he can breathe more often. It's okay." But he was always so conscious of his own. What he was able to offer, but he was able to really phonate and make such incredible sounds with his voice, even when he was so compromised with his breath. And it's quite admiring to see how he was able to do that.
Did you have experiences with him on the Bow River?
You know, I would say I don't have too many regrets, but this is a regret of mine. We talked about it all the time. Paul seemed to be able to make time in his life really well. He was very good at making time for the things that mattered most. And I never made enough of the time to actually have that happen. But I know that I've seen many stories, and I know a lot of his fishing colleagues, and you know they miss him dearly, but they also have some amazing fond memories of times on the river with Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, he would weave his life as an environmentalist into his artistic conversations too, I think, and his artistic activities. I don't know if you can, was there ever a Luminous Voices themed concert that sort of went close to his?
Well, I mean, I would say that many of our programs, or whether it's new works or new commissions, have had great effect on all of us. You know, I know in the last 5 years, let's say, some of the commissioning projects, working with Peter Anthony Tanyi, and also working with Andrew Balfour, and some of the Indigenous and non-Indigenous collaborations that we had, they've had profound effects on many of us. And I know for Paul, his love of nature and the environment connected strongly with Indigenous ideals, and he's felt a real kinship and really struck up some amazing friendships again with another friend of ours, Walter. So, I think a lot about Paul in those times and where his heart in the music, how the music connects with nature. And then, of course, his incredible work with words. We would never go through a concert without receiving afterwards some kind of almost poetic interpretation of what we had done together as an ensemble. You know, Paul would come and sort of wrap things up with a beautiful bow, you know, and would talk about how what influence these different projects had on him, or the music making we did together. And so That really is his character. Not just the singing, his words, as you say. Very deliberate about his words and the way in which he used them. And of course, publishing, poetry albums. It's incredible. Anthologies, I should say. Not albums, but anthologies. And I think there's going to be another published posthumously as well. So Tina's going to be doing that. Your audience might be interested in knowing the composer Stephanie Martin, who's a dear friend of both Paul and Christina. She's written a new work that with Paul's words, and we're really honored to be able to perform this and premiere it with Luminous Voices. We'll do so likely on just on our tour in May to BC, but we might get into it in our April concert as an encore. We have to decide that, but just such beautiful words that are now set to music, and it'll be very powerful for all of us involved to perform that music.
Wonderful. Well, I know we haven't even gotten into his work with the Calgary Boys Choir and as a church musician as well. I would wrap that up in a final question. If you can put it into words, what do you feel that Paul's legacy will be in on the community of music of musicians in Calgary, but also the wider Canadian music community?
What struck me at the service honoring Paul's life, celebration of life, was the number of people that were touched by Paul and his work. And so that is from everything from the Calgary Boys Choir, young singers that have grown up and actually are doing this now, and or it's a big part of their lives. Then there's also, as you say, the church choirs, Knox Presbyterian, Christchurch, Elbow Park, but then the other community choirs, Airdrie Community Choir, the Renaissance Singers, and Festival Chorus in Calgary. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have directly been touched. And that's also not stating the one-on-one work that he did with so many singers that I know that I've worked with. And we all, I think, as musicians, can have this feeling sometimes that we're not sure if we're having an effect. We're not sure if it's reaching. And it's not about one performance. It's about these activities that affect small communities, but actually have very long-lasting ripple effects. And that is absolutely apparent in Calgary, but that goes far beyond Calgary because of his singing throughout Western Canada. The music that he made in BC, of course, and in Edmonton, in Alberta, into Winnipeg and beyond, and of course his time in Ontario. He had so many colleagues that he had touched, and I think that it's a sign. It's a sign of who he was as a person. It's also the sign of how powerful music is, and how it actually makes these connections, and makes very strong connections. That are lasting, even though they may seem fleeting sometimes. The music is there and gone, and but yet these interactions and these moments, these fleeting moments of connection, actually have incredible power beyond that moment.
Very well said. Thank you, Tim, for taking a few minutes to remember Paul with me today.
Thank you. It was really, really my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
The Alberta-based choral conductor and teacher Timothy Shantz, remembering his close friend and colleague Paul Grindley, to whom we are dedicating our next Confluence Concerts program, Centuries of Souls 2, February 13th and 14th at Heliconian Hall in Toronto. I'm very grateful to Tim for taking the time to speak with me. As he mentioned, not only was Paul a wonderful musician and outdoorsman, he was also an excellent poet. And we'll be celebrating that side of Paul's talents as well in the program, with his poem Credo, which will come directly after the Credo from Victoria's Missa Gaudeamus. In the time I have left, I would like to mention one more aspect of the program, the sharp juxtaposition, if you will, in addition to the sumptuous Renaissance polyphony of Morales and Victoria, the Gregorian and South Indian chant, we will be treated to the Sonata No. 2 for solo violin by the 20th century French composer Eugène Ysaÿe. This is an extraordinary work and connects in a way to the Mass setting, because it too is based on an ancient piece of chant, the familiar Dies Irae, a sequence describing the Last Judgment. It is quoted in each of the movements of Ysaÿe's sonata, and I think, I hope, it will be quite striking to have the movements of the Victoria and the Ysaÿe toggle back and forth, giving us vastly different sound worlds with an interesting connection. The Ysaÿe will be played by a wonderful young violinist who is in my class in the arts program at Unionville High School, Tina Sievers. She played a movement of it early in the school year and told me she was learning the whole piece. I couldn't resist trying to work it into the show. Here's the second movement of the sonata in a recording by the great Canadian violinist Aislinn Noske. The second movement of the Sonata No. 2 for solo violin by Eugène Ysaÿe, played in that recording by Aislinn Noske. You can hear it played by the 17-year-old Tina Sievers as part of the upcoming Confluence program Centuries of Souls 2 at Heliconian Hall on February 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and more information, please visit www.confluenceconcerts.ca. By the way, we have performers in this concert who are in their teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, six decades represented on the stage. One of the many things I love about being part of this special Confluence experiment is the intergenerational contact. I have not mentioned much about our esteemed conductor, Matthew Larkin, but maybe he needs no introduction. He's a deeply committed musician with prodigious talents, both as an organist and conductor. He's held posts at many of the leading churches in Canada and is a respected expert in the field of church music. I've known Matthew for a very long time, but not well, I have to admit to being a bit in awe of his musical talents and intelligence. I also really admire and connect to his tendency to wear his heart on his sleeve and really go for emotional intensity in all of his musical endeavors. I'm very much looking forward to working with him on this program, and it's an honor to have him back on the Confluence stage. Centuries of Souls 2, happening at Heliconian Hall in Toronto, February 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m., with a pre-concert chat by yours truly at 6:45. For tickets and more information, please visit www.confluenceconcerts.ca. That's all for this episode of The Fuse, the podcast of Confluence Concerts. My thanks to the whole Confluence team for their encouragement and support, and to Tim Shantz for sharing his memories of Paul Grindley. We hope to see you at Centuries of Souls 2. It will be special. In the meantime, stay warm. My name is Larry Beckwith. Bye for now.